Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd. It's primal.
And that's raw. Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits.
Are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And happy 2024. You know what that means, Sif?
New year.
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
That's right.
He's 54 now.
I'm going to be 55 years old this year.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to New Year. Oh, I feel like a new me. Let me tell you right now.
That one day changes everything.
Well, no, it's not just that, Sif. It's more than that.
It is. It goes from a Sunday to a Monday.
It's not only that. It's the recap video of last year. You can't make the change unless you show the version of how great last year was in 30 seconds.
I'm going to tell all of you, and I mean all of you, I couldn't swipe past your recap videos faster. I watched none of them. All your effort was wasted on me. Why would I sit there and watch your recap videos when there's tons of people getting pulled over by the cops on my TikTok and not giving their driver's license? I mean, I got shit to watch, man.
Wait, that's your current algorithm?
Bro, the sovereign citizens, you know these people?
No.
You don't know the sovereign citizens?
I've seen the one dude who just wanders around with his camera till he gets yelled at by people. And then that's different.
That guy, that's funny. There's a couple of those guys too.
These ones are, they just say
sovereign citizens are these people that believe that they don't have to follow the law. Like the government doesn't control them. They're natural law. So when they get pulled over by the cops are like, I need your driver's license. And they're like, I'm not driving. I'm traveling. I'm not driving for commercial. I'm not conducting commerce. I'm traveling. And like, therefore, I don't need a driver's license. And they're like, no, you need a driver's license in this state to drive on the... Da, da, da. No, I'm traveling.
And you can just sit here and watch this play out.
All day.
What do you think it is that amuses you about this?
I have no idea. People are so stupid. Then also, like, mind you, I understand overall the dysfunction of the police system. I understand.
Yes.
But also, sometimes it's just a guy doing his job, bro.
You're going to try to beat the system today on this. He's not even a bad guy. He's just a guy who literally saw, oh, I need to hit the speed. I got to give you a ticket.
But they get fucking screamed at, like, disrespect. I understand the system is fucked up. But this guy, man, like, you don't have to disrespect. They treat cops like shit.
And what is this guy going to do? Are you going to change the system with this guy? And I just watched the guy with the camera, this asshole who stands there with the camera. I think his name is Sean.
Sean, the one that goes to, like, courthouses and post office?
Yeah, like I've seen him in like libraries and people just come up and they're like, hey man, can you leave? You're making people feel weird. He's like, why? And he turns it into this whole thing about rights. And I'm like,
First Amendment rights.
And I'm like, I don't know though if the rights are intended for you just to go make people feel uncomfortable. And that doesn't mean you can't.
That's what's written.
But what's the point of doing that? It's almost like being a hall monitor. Like, you're going to be the one who tests the rules. I know the rule, so I'm bringing my rule book, and I'm going to intentionally go do something.
Well, that's the name of his channel is Audit.
So it's about auditing the rules.
Yeah, he's like government employees, police. They always let him go because he's right. Because
he ultimately has the right.
According to the law.
What would you
do? So law doesn't matter? Law matters.
I guess law matters. I mean, it does matter. I feel like there are more important ways in which you should be pushing those issues. You know what I mean? Like, besides standing with a camera somewhere and filming people who are uncomfortable being filmed, because we live in an era, because I don't know if you know this, Sife, when they made those rules, they didn't even know what a camera was. Then when they did know what a camera was, they certainly didn't know every asshole was going to have one that they could upload it to the entire world. So these rules need updating.
Okay, but what about the people knowing need to know what public is versus private?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lesson there, I suppose.
You can't go out and assume that everything is your home in private. There's things called public.
That are not private.
This is private property. No, it's not. This is a courthouse owned by us. We own that.
Right, right. I'm thinking not on so much the people working there as I am like the person who's at that library with their little kid doing something and there's a weirdo with a camera there. And you're like, hey, man, wish there wasn't a weirdo standing here filming my child right now. That's just a weird behavior. You know what I mean? Oh, I don't follow your TikTok channel. I don't know the point of what you're doing. You just look like a creepo asshole. Maybe can you let everyone know? Hey, everyone know that I'm conducting an experiment. I'm not keeping video of your children. Don't worry about it. Just so everyone knows. That would be nice. Maybe he does that beforehand. I don't think he does.
I doubt he does.
I don't know how we got here, but where were we?
That's what we are. That's what we are, baby.
Where were you? We got here because of the recap. The recap this year was the most out of control it's ever been.
How much editing are you people doing?
I think
What do you mean? You did it too.
Right. So I spent all day I spent all day talking about how I hate this and don't want to do it. And this is dumb. And then I started being like, you know what? Obviously, this is what the point of this whole stupid fucking contraption is anyway. I'm just going to do it. This is my battle every day. So I'm just going to post a thing. Okay. So I go look at the templates. Yo, even the templates that are out there that people are using. And by the way, I'm talking about regular people with 100 followers. The templates are kind of annoying. That's why I ended up just throwing up a bunch of videos. I didn't do any editing. I just uploaded the videos and if you feel like scrolling through and watching a video, you can. Or you go with the template where you have to take the absolutely insipid, disgusting song that they're insisting you use, so everyone uses the same song?
You don't have to do it, Petey. You didn't have to do it. You're right. You're all in it. You're all in it.
Mine wasn't as bad as all of them, though, just for the record.
Which is worse. If you're going to do it, do it.
Just. I did a half-ass version of it. I didn't even do the good version of it. You see my caption?
No.
You scroll past it, but I had a caption that had meaning, just so you know. Just to me. Here's my caption. I've had some bad years. We all do. It is those years that make me appreciate that make the good ones worth appreciating. There were lows too, losses of wonderful people, watching people I love go through immense loss, bad days, bad moments, self-doubt, all the things that don't make it to IG. But here was some of the good stuff. Praying next year can be wonderful as well. I tried to at least sprinkle in. There are people scrolling right now who don't want to show their year because it was shit, miss. The whole thing, basically from January 1 to December 31st, was nothing but ass.
I would love to see somebody who put up the worst of 2023. That's what I want to see. somebody's mother in a casket, somebody's car getting towed, the fucking house burning down.
Why didn't someone at least do a fake one? At least do a fake one. That is genius. By the way, that you what you just described immediately was already really bad. And people have had that year. Now, have you had the car being towed light work? That happens a lot. But mom in a casket plus house burning down? That's an iconic year.
I don't subscribe, man.
To
it's
what?
All the, just
I the what is
look,
the,
to
the,
I, to write stuff down? You need a date, right? To whatever for whatever system we're following, you need a date,
right?
It's just the same. It's the same. People get so excited for the new year. It was yesterday was Sunday, Monday. It's just a day, bro. Just keep it moving.
But you put up a post and you said that you cared. I read it.
Yeah, it's fake. It's all, this is, everything on here is fake. This is all fakeness. That's not me. This is fakeness. It's all, this is all just another stage. All of this. It's just a stage.
You and I have legitimately talked about this for
15 years
now. So it's not like I don't know how you feel about it. And it's, and I mostly agree. I understand why people use this common date as a reset opportunity. I do get that. I get you're given by society a fresh, people tell you it's a fresh start. So I get why people take the fresh start. I want to start over. I'm starting right now.
Do you dig in a little deeper and be like, why do they want me to have a fresh start? Why? Why does Kmart want me to have a fresh start?
Why does Blink Fitness care so much?
I'm not trying to knock you, all right? I'll let it go. I understand when you were having a beautiful Christmas dinner, even though you're Jewish, on Christmas you were having these reflective feelings about the year, you know, and understanding the birth of Christ because you're Jewish, yet you have your Christmas dinner and your tree and your wreath. Because that makes sense.
But keep going.
Because you wrapped your fucking presents in your candy cane and snowman wrapping paper and brought them to your Jewish family's holiday party.
But keep going. But you had a point there. You started out by saying, there was never a point. It was just to. It was just to say they're complete
love
frauds.
Christmas.
It was just to say everyone's a fraud. I'll tell you.
Listen, I get it. People needed something to strive for.
You see my. You don't even notice my slight tan, do you?
I never noticed your face untanned. I guess. Is that a Brazil tan?
That's right, baby. Oh yeah.
You're down there in Brazil. Oh my God, chama juje.
What?
I don't know. It sounds Portuguese to me.
It doesn't not sound Portuguese. So my trip to Brazil was great. I had a hell of a fucking time, but I had a really sad discovery. A really sad discovery. I brought this up on the Patreon, I believe, with Billy June. But honestly, I had just drank an eggnog, and Billy June was annoying me. So the whole episode was a blur. Because Sife wasn't there on the Patreon, it was just me and Billy June. I went from being Billy June defender to being I have to yell at Billy June for every stupid thing that he says.
He goes, hey, the only notes for today, a crazy guy on Discord who's talking politics and other stuff. And don't mention the birthday show party because it's not happening anymore. Who gives a fuck if your birthday show party is happening or not? Why can't we mention it? Who are we mentioning it to that's going to give a fuck?
I guess he meant don't plug it. Like, don't promote
it. Were we going
it?
To?
It wasn't like he said, you have to understand, there was no prior text that where he goes, by the way, guys, make sure on the episode we plug my birthday show.
Somewhere along the line, I think he texted us saying he had a birthday event.
A date. But yeah, he had a date.
Over Christmas break, like, bro, that today is the day you should have sent me any type of date. Back to work, January 2nd, back to work. Hey, by the way, I would love for you guys to come by the birthday party. Da, da, da. Like, in the middle of, I don't celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate holidays. But.
But you do celebrate time off.
No, but it's not that I celebrate it. It's just that the rest of the world does. So that week is a fucking fog. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that I celebrate it, but everyone else does. So I gotta just live in a world where no one's confirming dates or setting up pitches. It's just off time. And you text me in the middle of all that some birthday. I think the term was, I secured a venue.
Yeah, it was. It was. For his birthday. And I didn't even understand what the show was. At first he just said, do you guys want, you know, could you guys come? And I said, you know, sure, what's the date? And then it became, I realized it's a show of some sort.
Yeah, it's probably a comedy show.
And then, yeah, some sort of comedy slash party thing. Anyways, sorry, Billy, we're mentioning it. But guess what? No one can go because apparently it's not happening. Maybe he'll reschedule it. Now, so back to what I was saying. So on that episode with Billy June, I mentioned this briefly, I think. But again, I was in a haze. So I'm mentioning it now. I also drank probably 90% of the days of these holidays. So
in Brazil?
So I have some puffiness here. Oh. Yeah, I was.
You're not allowed. You can't say puffy anymore.
I have some swelling, like, you know, some water retention.
You got some ditty under your.
Oh, gross! No one wants to see their ditty under their eye. So if you remember, Sife, I was supposed to go to Rio. In like before I ever met you back in like 04.
If I remember.
And this is part of the story. This is the part you remember. The day before I was going to go with my friend Judd to Rio, everything was secured. I'm fresh out of college, speaking my best Portuguese. I'm about to leave. And my dad calls me and goes, your grandfather's going to die. You have to cancel your trip.
Shit.
Trip got canceled. Grandpa didn't even die. Okay. Just so everybody knows. Love you, Grandpa. He has since passed away. But he did not pass away then. And me and my friend Judd never took our just like young 20-something trip to Rio. Now, that whole time when I've told the story back, whenever it's come up over the last 15, 20 years, I always say it with this like tone of regret of like, ooh, who knows what would have been. I spoke Portuguese. I was young. The implication is I would have been just swimming in Brazil ass. That's the implication. Right,
that's what you're saying. That's what it's giving. It's giving Brazilian ass.
It's giving missed Brazilian ass is what it's giving. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, but wait a second. When I tell this story, it's bullshit. I still would have had no game. What do I think would have really happened on this trip to Brazil?
Well, you have money.
Anything? Yeah, but I wasn't going to go. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't gonna be that kind of trip. I'll tell you about someone I saw that I mentioned to Billy June on the podcast the other day, who I guarantee was maximum two people removed from you when I was in Brazil. I say that based on nothing but the way he sounded and the way he looked. Two people away from you, guaranteed. We would have played 2 degrees of Sypha Sounds. Anyways, so on this trip, 20 years later, nearly, I went down there and I dusted off my Portuguese. It felt really good. It was actually very fun and challenging and sort of exciting. Never been in that situation where I'm going to a country and I get to like try to speak. I have an update for you. I would have done very well on that trip.
Really?
It was, I told Natalie, she was like, so go on the trip then.
Well, how do you know you would have done very well?
Because the way people reacted to my Portuguese was so over the top. Men and women. Oh my God. God, you speak so well. Your accent. Oh, what? And I started by the end just saying to people, hey, guys, I'll be honest. I was in Portuguese, I'm saying, I don't even speak very well. Americans just don't speak at all, do they? And that was the answer. They've never heard an American speak Portuguese.
There's no point.
You what, in speaking Portuguese? Well, unless you want to go to Brazil.
Brazil, you want to go to Portugal, you want to go to Newark. I mean, other than that, what's the point?
What a prime Sypha Sounds joke that was. That was right there for Sypha. Yeah, no, I was like, oh, wow. Like when I would go into a store and mention something, the second they would catch the vibe, people were so interested. I was like, oh, this would have actually worked. It wouldn't have been hard. I would have struck up so many conversations. We would have been lit.
Yeah.
I'm so mad at my dad.
So it's a mixture of, you know, the language. They're surprised that anyone.
But you're clearly a foreigner.
Okay, so they could tell you're a foreigner.
Yes, because when the conversation goes far, I have to say, like, slow down. I don't speak very well.
In Portuguese.
Yes. But then I'm also dressed, you know, somewhat American, you know. You could put it together. I'm asking questions that are typical of someone who doesn't live there. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I did have that confirmed that, in fact, the trip would have been. And Sife, when I tell you, I don't want to be one of those guys who goes to a place and overstates it just for the sake of overstating it. And just to be clear, the stories that, you know, you'll hear from the random scumbag friend you have was like, yo, me and my man went to Brazil. Oh, my God. I didn't experience. I don't know about where people go find things. I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the nicest beaches in Rio and this other place that we went to. Like 3 hours from Rio. I'm just saying regarding those places, regular, yo, man, it was, the people are goddamn sexy. I mean, it's, Sife, we literally spent time, me and Natalie, trying to figure out the asses. Like, do you think there's something in the way people live? Is it a walking around thing? Is it the sun? Are they eating? Because let's be honest, the mix of people is very similar to the United States. They're a little more actually legitimately mixed up than the United States, for sure. But, you know, it's indigenous, African, European people mixed up. It's not that different than the U.S.
No, it's not at all. None of South America is.
And yet, something is different. Even a nothing ass, is a something ass in Brazil.
This is a very awkward conversation to start this brand new year. Did you bring up slavery at all?
As a reason?
Like, was there something in the slave trade where they sent more of the big booty slaves down to Brazil?
I don't like this as a possible...
But this is what it is, though.
You mean because the reality is this is how people got to these
countries. This is all African roots. This is African roots.
Well, and indigenous roots.
The people, yes, but I don't know if our native...
You're talking about asses,
are native South Americans known to have the big old butts? I think it's more of an African thing.
It's a fair.
But then also, what
question.
About the Brazilian butt lift?
See, that came into play too. I said we also
because literally the B in BBL is Brazil.
So right, is it just a thing also that people do here and it's super common?
Right.
Right.
You didn't ask anybody while you were there, and you're fucking Portuguese. Big butts.
Mas como a bunda grande. Bundão. I didn't ask about it, but it's not that they were all big. They're just all, it was just.
Now, nice, is man. That a Brazil? Really, is that a Rio thing? Like Rio's like Miami, I'm assuming.
Rio's like Miami with like more culture, more of the real, you know, Miami, a lot of Miami is Miami is culture. It's just not American culture. Miami's American culture is kind of nothing. It's like a complete fraud mixed with beautiful South American cultures because people have all come there. Rio's different in that it's really the pulse of Brazilian culture.
But like Brazil
also.
Is a huge country. So maybe when you go to other parts of Brazil, these bitches just look nasty.
Listen, I don't recall that when I went to another state in the Northeast 20 years ago. It was still pretty nice. But I will say, Rio did hit something different. It did. And I'm talking about the regular people who at least they just seem
like, you know how in America, the hottest chicks in every small town, event they go to LA. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why LA has so many hot people, because if you're the hottest in your town, you got to go, I got to get out of this dump. You go, let me go where my people are. So maybe Brazil is that for, I mean, maybe Rio is that for Brazil.
Listen, it's not a bad thought, what you're suggesting.
Patrice used to go to Brazil with a case of glass dildos.
I'm sorry?
Patrice O'Neal?
Yeah, I remember.
He used to go to Brazil with a case of glass dildos.
Well, I don't understand what that means.
You know what dildos are? Imagine sure. They were made of glass in all different sizes.
Why would you do that?
He loved the hookers in Brazil. He loved the prostitutes.
What were the glass dildos for? A gift?
Fun, I guess. Fun.
So he was being serious about the glass dildos. It wasn't the setup for a joke.
No, that was serious.
That was just like, that's what I bring when I go to Brazil.
Yeah.
It feels dangerous, though, a glass dildo.
There's strong glass out there. There's strong glass.
So that's what I'm talking about, Saif. The people who go... And by the way, a lot of people said to me, I mean a lot, more than any place I've ever been, be careful. Yo, be careful. I'd never have gotten
be careful
in my life because everyone was telling me to watch out for crime, right? Particularly pickpocketing, cameras stolen, phones stolen, wallet stolen, that kind of stuff. Not heavier stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that of kind of crime, like, I get it. Thank you for the warning. I feel like, whatever, the people I know, the type of New Yorkers I know, we're good.
Natalie was saying that before we left. Like, she's like, Peter, I've been everywhere. We're good. We're going to be fine. And I'm like, I don't know, though, because the people saying it. When I got there, two things. I suppose you could go wandering into places that are looser than the places I was. I'm sure that's possible. But number two, it's like, yeah, are you just not really familiar with being out in the streets in New York? Because if you're, I'm never out in the streets in New York just like, so I never felt anything. I wouldn't bring a lot of money in my pocket. I wouldn't often bring even my wallet. I just bring like a credit card and a little bit of cash in my pocket just in case because people had me so shook off of it. But I didn't feel anything.
I was shooting Donnell Rawlings special. So we were like doing like a sound check, whatever. And it was in like Times Square area. And then we had like a 2-hour break before we start shooting. So we just go to the, remember Lucas Deli situation where Lucas was ordering in the deli?
Yes, yes.
That was like around Times Square. So literally we walk into Times Square and the dudes come with the CDs. And they were like, yo, with this. I said, I looked at them like, you're not good at this if you think I'm the one you need to talk to. And I said, bro, come on, man. I'm from here. And he's like, you can't support local artists. I said, you're not a local artist. You out here in Times Square. I know what you're doing. He was like, yeah, you're right. Like, you're not good at your job if you think approaching me is the right way for you to get some money.
Well, you were saying that with the point of connecting it to aware New Yorkers.
Exactly. Like, I've watched people in other places, like, get, like, scammed or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, why would you talk to this guy? Why are you talking to him? Like,
see, it's interesting, though. I saw Bobby Connors the other day. And he was talking about going to Brazil. And, yo, he said to me, Bobby, this is Bobby Connors. Bobby's in clubs in Brooklyn that people... So
six in the morning.
Six in the morning where the guns are just... Everyone knows everybody. They don't even check. All right? That's where Bobby's at. And Bobby says to me, he's like, yo, man, I want to go to Brazil, but I heard it's real crazy down there. I heard it's damn... I'm like, for you? You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I said, listen, I don't know what it's like if you try to go into the hood. I'm not going up to the favelas. No. I'm not trying to like live City of God, okay? No. But where I was, nah, man. It was really clean.
Man, I was in Barcelona once and we rented scooters and we were trying to go to this like famous garden.
Wait, you were in?
Barcelona. And we tried to go to like this famous garden and we're riding the scooters there and I saw it turn into the hood. All the beautiful streets of Barcelona, I saw it. I was like, oh, wrap this up. Turn this around. Let's go back downtown where we're safe.
I see it changing.
It changed. So I looked at the garden, and I was like, oh, that's the Bronx Zoo. It's something beautiful in the middle of some craziness. We're not going there.
You know what Shawnee said to me recently? And this blew my mind. Shawnee was doing, he's been doing these, he's apparently working on some sort of documentary or something with somebody where he basically goes on these dope vacations and then does video content, yeah. like records content there. And Shawnee said something to me that I've literally never related to less in my life. He was like, yeah, we were in Barbados or wherever it was. He's like, yeah, it was cool. When we were asking him how it was, he was like, yeah, it was cool. It was cool. It was like, they didn't want to like take us to the hood. They didn't take us to like the hood, you know, like where the people are, like the to see the shit, the hood. I was like, can I like to ask a question? Why is that what you need to do?
Hood people always want to go to the hood.
I'm like, but you, hold on, but I get it. Because hear me out. I agree, of course, that I believe in many places, a lot of the culture, a lot of it on some level is coming from people in the hood. But you can go to the places where that culture comes to that is not actually the hood. Like, you could go to an event, a show, a thing where people come out, you see it, you feel it, but you're not on the block, like where they go home, where they would say to you, hey, you don't want to go to my neighborhood. You should just go to the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why do you want to go? So wait, you're saying someone would arrive to New York and be like, yo, I'm visiting New York. I'm so excited to be here. Where is this Brownsville? I want to go to Brownsville. I want to go to East New York. It almost feels like, it feels weird to me.
Yeah,
like it's almost weird. A little crazy and almost a little like, yo, people in Brazil, they do the favela tours. Now, this is really nuts that people spend money to go up into the favelas to see where the poorest people in Brazil live. But then I was thinking about it, and I'm like, but I wonder if on some level, even though it's so cringe, is it good for the people there? Like, maybe they make a little money from it, and they want people to see their story? And as cringe as it feels, and I wouldn't want to do it because it would make me feel uncomfortable, maybe they like it?
Are they selling anything? There's got to be something about it.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able. There are many favela tours. Like, I think there's a bunch of different ones. I can't imagine you'd be able to do it unless the powers that be in that area were like, nah, nobody fucks with this. It's important. Or there's something. But anyways, when Shawnee said that, he's like, I didn't even get to go to the hood. I was like, oh, all right. Well. I don't know. Did you go to like a nice restaurant or, you know, but it was I did some record shopping.
How's that?
Well, I didn't find any 45s in the limited stores that I went to. The stores were not particularly near me. So I only had one day when I had time to like make a little trip to go to a record shop.
What was taking up all your time, Peter? What was taking up all your time?
Well, the middle 4 or 5 days, we actually left Rio and went to this resort town.
Oh, I see.
Called Búzios.
We was up in the resort with the in the beach, on the beach, the piña coladas.
People were like, you should go to Búzios. It's a great time. We went up there, bro. It was nice to spend the middle part of the vacation not feeling like obligated to experience this city that's like hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
To just have a middle part where it was like, no, we stayed at a beautiful place. You could go to the beach and leave your shit sitting out. Like, it was just a beautiful, wonderful
Who told vacation. You could do that? The criminals?
Criminals.
The criminals
they
are
said,
like,
Búzios,
leave your, no, the leave best your place. Shit anywhere.
Leave, no. It really was a wonderful place. So then we only had, when it was all said and done, we had like four or five days in Rio. We had to see the things that we wanted to see. Like, this was a place where the tourist stuff mattered to me. I wanted to see Christ the Redeemer. I wanted to see Sugar Mountain. I wanted to see the famous stairs. You know, I wanted to do all the Rio things.
Yeah.
A lot of times I wouldn't care about but for whatever reason in Rio, that stuff to me hits. Let me tell you what. Natalie took me up in a helicopter for the first time. I saw the Cristo from above it in a helicopter. It was crazy. It's fun.
What is she has helicopter connections?
Oh yeah. No, she just finds a spot. Sometimes she has a connection. In this case, she literally just got a recommendation from a fellow photographer of a good place. We went and did it. Not that scary. You ever been in a helicopter?
Nah, I can't. It's not that it would be scary. It's that I
nauseating.
Yeah, it's the same reason why I don't ride roller coasters. Like, I know for a fact I would get like nauseous.
She said this one that we did was not bad. She was like, I was like, that was so easy. And she said, she was like, well, just so you know, that one was really big. The smaller ones are more nauseating and scary.
Yeah.
The one we were in, I felt like I felt super strapped in. I never even felt big ups and downs. It felt like nothing, honestly. It felt like you're just kind of coasting over with the doors open, looking out like, yo. But there is something about that Cristo in Rio.
What is that, the big statue with the...
The big guy. You know what I'm talking about, the big guy. Jesus.
Right, yeah, I remember, yeah.
Something about it, the fact that it's this big, huge statue over the city, but the fact that that huge statue they have is on top of a huge mountain, is something about it makes it fucking dope. I don't know what, it just felt so different to me than other big wonders that I've seen. Like, just the how high up this thing is in, it's just crazy. I fucking loved it. I converted to Catholicism. That's how much I was into it.
Be careful. Jesus.
Careful.
Jesus was Palestinian.
Was it called? But it wasn't called. Was it called Palestinian?
I don't know what it was called, but that's
the Philistines or something?
That's what it was.
And then the Jews. I got to tell you, Saif, we're not going to get into it, but this stuff, this war has to end. I can't. By the way, is this not the most American take? It's not the innocent people dying every day. I can't take it.
It's like when pandemic hit, you were like, I needed a break.
Exactly.
I needed a couple days off.
I get it. It's people died. It was so nice to just be in the house. No, but like yes, of course, there are all the obvious humanitarian reasons it needs to end. But like, this is what's a bad sign for the Israeli government's publicity department. Right? And they have a major publicity problem. I mean, they should hire Chanel. Israel, they need help. Because, first of all, when the whole thing started on October 7th, they went to war the same day. Any good publicist would have been like, hold on, hold on. Don't go to war today. Let's let the story of what happened kind of soak in internationally for a little while here. Nah, now it was like when George Bush supposedly was on the plane and heard that the towers went down, it was like Iraq. Like we know what the plan is already. The plan's already the plan. So PR has not been good. But here's how you know the PR is not good. The only loud person they can get to show up and believe everything they're telling them is Michael Rapaport. Listen, I've always liked Michael Rapaport. I always have. He is not the smartest we have to offer. I'm sorry. Saif, you can say a lot about my people. Stupid is not usually one that gets thrown out that often. Michael, what are you doing?
I don't even know. What is he doing?
First of all, he's just been blurting the same thing from the very beginning.
It was like an anti-terrorist thing.
Yes, anti-terrorist thing. Exactly. It's a good way of putting it. It's like an anti-terrorist, bring home the hostages, I'm proud of being Jewish thing. All of those things, any reasonable person would agree with. But when you scream those things repeatedly and never look at anything else that's happening, after months, you start to look like a crazy person. Like you start to look just wickedly uninformed. And then also the language you're using is just not good. Calling people animals, filthy animals, this. I mean, you know, the way Michael kind of, he's not exactly a nuanced speaker. But he went to Israel and literally had the IDF, the Israeli army, literally like walking him around and like giving him information. And he's sitting there like, wow. Bro, are you thinking about what that would be like? I don't even have to make it another country. The U.S. If I knew someone who did that for the U.S., I'd be like, you fucking moron. What are you listening to these people? They're fucking liars. I would never take the words of a military of a place that's going and explaining things to you and at face value being, oh, interesting. Done. This is factual. Oh, you said it. That must be true. Bro, you look like a fucking clown.
Damn.
And I said to him, and I reached out to him on the side, and I'm like, yo, bro, this is early. I was like, you sound really crazy. I was like, October 7th was fucking horrifying. And I'm desperate for the hostages to be released. Remember, this is very pretty early on. I said, but if you don't look at what Netanyahu's been doing over there, I was like, you're missing a lot of what's going on. And furthermore, why do you think this war is going to bring home the hostages? I was like, I don't understand why you think that's like an apples to apples. Oh, if we go to war, we'll get the, I don't understand. Like, why? He basically just like, I'm not going to say anything critical right now. It's not the time. And I'm like, no, this is the time. This is the time. If Jewish people are not critical right now, we've missed the time. The time is now. It's always hard in the moment to be critical. No one wanted to be critical in late September 2001. How do you think they managed to pull off these fucking horrifying wars? Because they know people won't be critical. That's why they're doing it. I mean, that's literally the point. People go to war at times when they go, well, this will get everyone to shut up and just do what we want. We know that. The second this war ends, Netanyahu is going to be back to being protested in the street every day, back to being facing jail time. He's on the ropes. He was already on the ropes for a year and then went into a war. But like, so as I was saying, Saif, this whole thing needs to end. Needs to end for me, for my sake. It's very important for me. Okay. By the way, speaking of Jews, did the Kanye album come out? All of this stuff keeps happening. Kanye West album. And it like never comes out.
Chappelle special came out. Number one on Netflix right now.
Wait, hold on real quick. Before the Chappelle, he released a new date. Oh, now it's January 12th. Now, I know you don't pay attention to things like this, Saif, but they, shout out to Cast One, who I sort of took this idea from, because he said it to me first when we were talking about the Kanye apology, the chat GPT apology that he gave. And Kanye and Cast like, samples got to get clear, baby. And I was like, oh my God. Right. I was like, it was literally probably, there was probably, in my opinion, Saif, one person somewhere who's like, I'm not clearing this shit for that anti-Semite. And someone's like, well, what if he apologizes? All right. But it'll have to be like an official apology. So my guess, I think there's a chance that that's what happened. But the one thing that upsets me the most about Kanye is not about anti-Semitism. The most upsetting and disappointing thing about Kanye West is that he has a fucking Backstreet Boys sample. Like, people don't really process how big the musical fall has been.
Wait, everyone's so bad?
Yeah, bro.
No.
Him sampling the every, you know what song he sampled, right?
Yeah, I heard it.
That's nothing.
That's not even a sample. It's re-sang by Charlie Wilson.
It's just a
But
what, oh, yeah, who Charlie Wilson raising it?
Yeah, but what is that? That song is dope. In the grand scheme of pop culture.
Right, in the grand scheme of pop.
If you're DJing
pop,
a white party with 30 and 40 year old white people and you throw right. that on at a wedding, people go crazy. How's that different than any other song that you sample?
Because the people who think it's dope aren't dope.
No.
That's the thing.
No, everybody likes
okay,
that
song. Then point to me the other time like in
about,
history when...
What about when Lil Wayne and Eminem used the shit that Just Blaze did?
Hated it. What is love?
Yeah, exactly.
Hated it. Made me sick. Go ahead, keep going. You won't find one that I'm not going to think is trash.
Well, then that's the thing, that you just think those type of samples are trash.
And by the way, I will say this about the Eminem Wayne one, even though I didn't like it. They did use it in a way that gave it a different feel and like made it sad and slow.
Yeah.
I still hated it. But what it
So you when hate I saw when people sample white songs? Is that what it is? Like
it's not about
like
white
songs. PSA site. Is
it's
a white song.
What?
Jay-Z PSA? That's a white band.
No, I don't hate white. I don't hate the white part of it at all. I hate the trite part of it.
The what?
Like trite.
What's
like
trite?
The most the most obvious shit of all time. I don't like Feel So Good by Mace. Perfect example. Not, is it white? Maybe it is white. But still,
no,
it's just.
So good as that. That's Cool in the Gang.
It's Cool in the Gang. Right. Hollywood Swinging. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Dent. Right. Not white. Hate it. Mm. Do you like it?
Feel So Good, Mace?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, what do you mean? No. Personally?
No. You've never listened to it once on your own.
No,
never.
No, not personally. It's for partying, for as a work
right,
tool.
Right. Well, in that sense, I like the Everybody song by Backstreet Boys. That, yes, it's a tool that will work with a toolish crowd.
Yeah.
You will get people to sing. But for Kanye West, Syph, from a guy who 9 years ago busted out the Bound sample from the Ponderosa Twins that makes people hear soulful music that they've never heard and go, I fucking love this song.
Nah.
To where you're now at a point where you got to bust out the Backstreet Boys, Everybody. You fell off, bro.
Nah,
you forgot how to make music.
No, it's just
you
just
have
a
forgotten.
It's just a sample.
No.
You can sample anything.
What? Hold on.
You can sample anything and make a dope song out of it.
But hold on. Is just re-singing a poppy bullshit song? Is that even sampling? Is that even the art form, really?
It's one song.
I understand. I'm not.
It's
one
song.
Hold on. But it's one song on the tail of multiple bad albums. This isn't out of nowhere.
Bad albums from what, Kanye?
Yeah.
I don't think Kanye has bad albums.
Donda 2, you thought was good? Tell me the songs you listened to on Donda 2.
I don't know the names of songs anymore because they just play in your streaming, whatever. It's not like, here's what I noticed. I don't know the names of a lot of songs anymore because I don't take the vinyl out of a case, put it on a turntable, read. You know what I mean? Like, I know every Gangstar song title. I don't know every Travis Scott song, even though I love the album.
Yeah, but you actually love the album. You spend time listening to Donda and Donda 2? I know
not
the
Donda
good song
2,
on
Donda.
On Donda 1, I can tell you the songs that are fire. I can tell you Jail is fire.
Yeah, I don't know the name. There's a lot of songs on there I like. I like Kanye music.
I loved Kanye music. But this whole thing, I mean, you cannot tell me with a straight face that percentage-wise, the amount of songs that he does well is not dramatically lower now than it was pre-Life of Pablo. You can't.
He doesn't make that much songs. I don't know. There's
starting with his...
There's stuff on Donda that's fucking dope.
No, there are. But there's a lot that aren't. And Donda 2 is even worse. Donda 2, he's got like a couple of joints on it. The idea that Kanye's gotten to a point where there's a couple of joints, the idea that Kanye's gotten to a joint point where he's like, I'm going to use the Backstreet Boys. Listen, I didn't love Stronger either, but at least with Daft Punk, there was like some sort of cool factor. Like using Backstreet Boys, just like...
I don't know, bro. You could make something out of it. If one of your... If Rome Streets used Backstreet Boys, but it was like more like grimed out and whatever, then you'd be like,
yeah,
no,
maybe.
He used Backstreet Boys.
Maybe. If it was chopped and done in a way that's interesting, but I just know the clip that was moving around was everybody just singing Backstreet Boys. Backstreet's back. All right. Literally a moment in musical history that I cringe.
I was at Trillstatic 3, and I experienced some real... street hip hop. You know what I'm saying? You weren't there because you're not official. You're not in the culture.
No, I was on vacation. I would have been there.
No, you're not in the culture like I am. I'm hanging out with Rome Streets, Terminology.
Yeah.
Benny.
Benny
the Butcher. That was early, you know, Millie's.
Millie Z or is it Millie's?
I think it's Millie's. Millie's was there. Some other guys that I don't know their names, but they were, you know, I'm with the culture, man. I'm with the underground. Street.
and you guys were all listening to Backstreet. Hey, we are, if you enjoy this sort of plodding random conversation, we're going to keep it going on Patreon. Patreon.com/JuanEpIsLife.
Should we talk any hip hop? I mean, do people come here for hip hop anymore?
What were we just doing?
Do people come here for hip hop anymore?
I think for the hip hop interviews, yes. When they see the two of us are there, it's just us. Do they think they're going to get hip-hop?
Should we be delivering hip-hop? These are the existential questions that I have to ask.
You know what? It's a great... Well, I have to ask you then. What albums is Bert Kreischer listening to right now? You know what I mean? All right, we'll see you on Patreon, everyone. We love you. Happy New Year.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.